That's a, he said, he's with you and he shall be in you. And he said, you shall be filled, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's the main difference, is that you receive power, discernment into the spiritual realm. If you haven't been filled with this gift, to get prepared for the things that are coming, get filled with this gift. Receive it from God by faith, or seek it earnestly with the prayer of importunity until you receive it. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's very, very simple. My wife received it very simply walking through the house. I mean, 30 years ago, she heard a preacher talking about it on the radio and decided, well, Lord, if that's for me, I want it. You know, well, she just started speaking in tongues. And she'd never been in a church that spoke in tongues. Didn't know anything about speaking in tongues. You know?
Ask a question about it.
Huh?
Ask a question about what you're talking about.
Sure, yeah.
I agree with what you say, because I was thinking about this last week and reading some scriptures relating to it. And what I mean by that is that the Lord, you know, has to have a temple that's prepared for Him, you know, to receive the Father's Spirit. But what we receive and what we start out with when we're born again is like the Spirit of Jesus, you know, which is the way that disciples would discern. And they spoke of, have you yet received the Holy Spirit? They had Jesus, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit. The question is, how would it be that when the Holy Spirit fell on those that were in the streets on Pentecost, I know the Lord can prepare any temple. Mm-hmm. I mean, the disciples were all learners and followers and studied under Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they prepared the temple, mm-hmm. you know, for the receiving, and Jesus said He was going to come. How do we explain that? You know, because, you know, the reason I've been thinking about this is because, you know, we just don't see the power in the body as it was in the days of Pentecost and Acts. Mm-hmm. And the reason, you know, why is that? And that power, it was ever so much more recognizable than what we have today.
Yes.
Okay. And I understand the scriptures as far as saying that so much has been lost, but still I think that, you know, you've got the Holy Spirit. You got the power.
Yeah.
You know, where are these, you know, these kinds of signs and wonders?
Well, you know, this is what comes to me immediately. There are a lot of people who get filled with the Holy Spirit, but they don't cooperate with the Holy Spirit. They don't know how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God that we put in our heart, the understanding that we put in our heart. The Holy Spirit can use us to do signs and wonders if we understand how faith works. If we don't cooperate with God in being a vessel of faith, because faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is seen, the Holy Spirit is using us as a vessel. The Bible says in Amos, you know, I believe it's 3:3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? So for 3.5 years, Jesus concentrated on one thing, getting these disciples to agree with God and learning how to walk by faith. And then He filled them with the Holy Spirit. See, power that's not directed is not worth much. See, the understanding that they received from Jesus gave direction to this power. When they spoke, they knew that they were in agreement with God, in agreement with His Word, and the Holy Spirit went forth to bring it to pass. See? A lot of God's people, they have no knowledge. They have no discernment because they're not full of the Word. So receiving the Holy Spirit, in many ways, is wasted on a vessel that's not in agreement with God and not walking with God and not able to be used as a vessel for God's purposes. So it takes more than just being filled with the Holy Spirit. It takes understanding. It takes knowledge. And those disciples who had been walking with Jesus when the Holy Spirit fell upon them, they were powerful people. They went forth with the same power that Jesus had. And of course, that's what we want. So we need discernment. We need understanding. We need to agree with the Word of God. We need to agree who we are in this world, what God has chosen us to do, that we are His disciples, to go forth and do the same work as those early disciples. And we need the same power to do that. And that's what the receiving of the former rain is all about. And if you haven't received the former rain, you just need to do it. seek God for it, receive it by faith, because he never took it back. It's not a matter of him having to give it to you. He poured it out on Pentecost. He never took it back. That's the whole point. You know, to you and to your children and as many and as far off as the Lord our God shall call, he said. This gift is to you and to your children and to as many and as far off as the Lord our God shall call. The gift that was poured out on Pentecost. So, don't deny the Lord. Accept what he says. This is your gift. You accept it, receive it by faith. It may manifest in you in several gifts. I mean, it has in me several gifts. Not that they all stay with me, you know, but several gifts have been manifested commonly with me. It usually does with people who seek to be filled with the gifts that God has chosen for them. Most common gift is speaking in tongues. It seemed to be most Pentecostal people believe that it was the sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't disagree with that, because I go into churches where they don't believe in speaking in tongues, and you don't see any power, you don't see any gifts. It's the people that believe in speaking in tongues that have the doorway into all the other gifts of supernatural power. So, yeah, Bob.
I guess, again, what I was trying to clear the way to understand was that we had people that were in the streets that were Gentiles that suddenly received the Holy Spirit that fell upon them right there after Pentecost, and the disciples went out.
You mean on the day of Pentecost?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not talking about the disciples. And what I'm saying is that we're kind of saying that with the Spirit of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, that's received, that a temple's made ready. Well, these people really weren't necessarily learners and followers of Jesus. They were right in the streets when the Holy Spirit fell upon them and it overcame them, and they were speaking in various tongues and all understandable. Okay, so what would it be that I mean, there was not a lot of preparation there, you know.
Well, in Acts chapter 2, let's look at that. You know, there was the 120 who were seeking God. Verse chapter 1 and 15.
Excellent.
There was 120 that were at that time gathering together and seeking God. And when the Holy Spirit was poured out, I don't believe that these were Gentiles. I believe that they were Jews who were scattered throughout the nations, who had come together for the Feast of Pentecost.
Right, they would be Jews, because that's right, you know, Peter had really done.
And in chapter 2 and verse 1 it says, and when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place. And who's he talking about? He's talking about the disciples who had gathered together, you know, to obey what Jesus said. He said, don't depart from Jerusalem, but... That's chapter 1, verse 4. Being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which said, he you have heard from me. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So they were actually waiting on the Holy Spirit to come, faithfully and obedience to Jesus. And chapter 2 and verse 2, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Personally, I think that, and I can't prove this, but I think that this is what the manifestation of what happened in John chapter 20, when Jesus breathed on the disciples and he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Well, we're told in the beginning of Acts that they're told to wait right here until it manifested, right? So actually, when Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Spirit, it wasn't manifested there. It was manifested here when that breath came as a rushing mighty wind and filled the house. And then verse 3 said, and there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as a fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, you know, I belonged to a church 30 years ago. I belonged to the church, but I went to a church 30 years ago. There was a spirit-filled church, and they believed that everybody could receive this gift. And I tell you that everybody in there did receive that gift. There was like 300 people in that church, and when I first went there, I was the only one that didn't speak in tongues. So if anybody tells you that God won't give you that gift, just forget about it, because 1 Corinthians 14 tells you, if you're all gathered together and you all speak with tongues. So in that day, that was a common sign, speaking in tongues, and a very necessary and needed sign is speaking in tongues. If you want anybody on your side when you're in trouble, it would be the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit prays through you to the Father according to your needs, Romans 8 says. Now that's valuable, because the Holy Spirit don't know how to pray in unbelief. And the Bible says if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us, and that we have the petitions which we've asked of Him. So that's, you're talking about a valuable, valuable prayer, speaking in tongues. Let the ignorant be ignorant if they want to, but speaking in tongues is powerful, because the Holy Spirit asks from God and He receives it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And He receives it, because He asks in faith, and He asks according to the will of God. Who knows the mind of God but His Spirit that dwells in us? That's what 1 Corinthians tells us, you see. So he asks according to the will and the mind of God, and he receives it. And we're just lending our tongue to him so that he can pray to the Father according to our circumstances and according to our needs. That's valuable. That is very valuable. Some people say it's the least gift, but that is really foolish, because there's no verse that says that. No verse that says that whatsoever. And it can't be the least gift, because he gave it to the most people. Why could it be the least gift? I mean, if the Lord is working all things together for our good, and he decided that everybody on the day of Pentecost should receive this gift, who are we to say we don't need that gift? You know? Who are we? I know that Pentecostal people tend to overemphasize tongues at the expense of the rest of the gifts, and a lot of them don't go on to receive the rest of the gifts, and that's foolishness too, you know, because obviously God wants to give us all of the gifts, maybe not in every individual all of the gifts, but he may want to use all of them through us in our lifetime. And if he tells us to desire earnestly these spiritual gifts, it must be that that's the way to receive them. And we need to be doing that. We need to be doing that in preparation for things that are coming. Did you have a question, Terry?
Well, there was a question. It's about tongues. It just says, question, isn't speaking in tongues languages? Remember we talked about that there's two. There's a speaking in tongues of the Spirit and speaking in tongues for different languages.
Yeah.
And there's two tongues.
Yeah, it's the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, there are tongues of men and tongues of angels. So it could be a recognizable tongue or an unrecognizable tongue. And it really doesn't matter. I've heard some of them that were pretty weird, frankly. But I don't know all the tongues. And, I don't know how many tongues there is of men. I understand there's maybe almost a couple thousand tongues of men. So I don't know how you'd recognize all of them. I've heard some really, really weird ones, you know. At any rate, the Holy Spirit chooses a tongue that we do not know so that we can be a pure vessel of that tongue. You see, if it's a language that you know, your mind gets involved in it. We're going back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago. If you're trusting in your mind to save you, to guide you, because you're reading the Word of God and you're just using it like a law, then you're really not protected very well. You need to have the Holy Spirit to guide you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So, they are languages. And on the day of Pentecost, we didn't read further down, but people from all different areas of the world that came together on the day of Pentecost, who were Jews, to come to the feast, these people spoke in their tongue. Some of those people did not even know Hebrew or Palestinian or the Aramean language that was common there among the Jews. You know, they didn't know that because they were raised up in their own countries, but they came from the Pentecost. Verse 11 says that there were Cretans and Arabians, and we hear them speaking in our tongues the mighty works of God. And they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what meaneth this? So, obviously these people came and spoke in a language that they didn't know, and they were speaking of the mighty works of God and giving a revelation. You know, because sometimes tongues is for revelation to us, because there are people who have the gift of interpretation and are blessed by the Holy Spirit to tell us what the Holy Spirit is saying. At any rate, it is a powerful, blessed gift. And let me say that tongues is just a doorway into the rest of the gifts. We need to be prepared for the things that are coming. The thing is, being led by the Spirit of God is a protection by itself. Do you remember when the Israelites fled from Egypt and they were baptized in the sea and in the cloud, which is a representation of water baptism and spirit baptism? And the Holy Spirit led them through the wilderness. You know, in the beginning, the Holy Spirit led them away from enemies that were awaiting to attack them. And the Holy Spirit led them around about these enemies because they were young in the ways of the Lord and they weren't ready to fight. So the Holy Spirit led them around them. And I don't know if you remember reading how that the Holy Spirit came down as a cloud on the tabernacle. And they camped. And when the cloud lifted off, well, they moved. They followed the Holy Spirit. And now we're about to enter into a wilderness, and we need desperately to follow the Holy Spirit and not our minds, because there's all kinds of people out there trying to put fear upon us about the things that are coming. But we need to put our trust in God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You know, there isn't any curse on the Son of God. And we manifest our sonship and we're following the Holy Spirit. We may be the first fruits in Revelation 14 who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. You know, how many times was Jesus, did Jesus escape injury just because he was in the Holy Spirit? And he was translated out of their midst a couple of times, you know? So we need the power of God. You know, people who are at the mercy of their mind don't necessarily believe that God can do such things. I didn't see signs and wonders and have discernment into the supernatural until I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people don't. They're just at the mercy of their mind. And our mind doesn't know the mind of God, but the Spirit does. Yeah, Bob?
Yeah, again, what we looked at the Holy Spirit falling on those in the day of Pentecost, and what I was mentioning was after Pentecost, in the time of the Gentiles. I'm speaking more of chapter 10, uh-huh. And down around verse, 43, 44, where Peter had just finished speaking to the group of Gentiles. And I mean, this is kind of, he's giving them the basics as far as, you know, we're talking about Jesus here. And we are here witnesses to tell you that we, after his resurrection, we sat and we ate and we drank and we did these things with Jesus as a testimony to give them their faith and whatnot. As he's speaking these words, the Holy Spirit falls on these people.
Yeah.
And they began to speak in tongues.
Okay. Yeah.
So, again, my question is, as you were talking about a little bit earlier, that we make ourselves ready as a vessel to receive the Holy Spirit. There wasn't a whole lot of preparation that was done here for these people.
Yeah, I really wasn't saying that you have to do anything to receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is given to us to guide us. But what I was saying is that education is important to be able to be cooperating with the Holy Spirit, because, our mind wars with the Spirit of God. You know, our mind is natural, and it seeks saving self at any cost. And yet the Lord would guide us in many ways that we don't know to save us. And,
I guess what I'm saying is that all the time we hear about people that are you Spirit-filled? You know, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm Spirit-filled. And you go,
yeah.
Well, what was Spirit-filled in the book of Acts and what people are calling Spirit-filled now is just like, you know, oh yeah, well, I was baptized. Oh, I'm Spirit-filled. I mean, it just being led by the Spirit of God is, you know, these are the sons of God, not the servants of God.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. And, you don't have to get cleaned up to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You just need to repent and desire Him. And He will... He'll do the cleaning up. He'll do the preparing. He'll just, you see, the Bible says in, look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. It said, my little children, these things write I unto you that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And the word advocate there is the same word for comforter or helper or paraclete. Mm-hmm. When the disciples needed direction, discernment, wisdom, they had Jesus with them. They walked with Jesus with them. And we need that now. And so the reason Jesus went away is to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit now is with us as the helper, the paraclete, the comforter. And just exactly what Jesus was to the disciples, we have with us now in the Holy Spirit. And like He told them, He is with you, but He shall be in you. It's much better to have Him in you than with you. Because you're not at the mercy of your mind, like I said. You ask direction, you ask protection, He's there, you know. And He's able to give you discernment that you don't have in the natural realm. I went into we were talking about the revival a while back. Well, I think it was probably a year after I came to the Lord that I got discerning of spirits and I started seeing the demons. Well, I was astounded because I went into this revival. All kinds of Christians were being taken advantage of by demon, religious demon spirits. And I could see some of these demon spirits. You know, I mean, the gift works when God wants it to work. Obviously, it's not when you want it to work. But I could see this, and I was protected from it. And I got discernment. And I thought, look at all these thousands of Christians that were in here. Did none of them have the Holy Spirit? Did none of them have the gift to be able to see this, that I was seeing? You know? So many of God's people are taken advantage of because they don't go on to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's strong delusion coming over this world. And we need those gifts. And we need to fellowship with people that have those gifts because we're probably not going to have all of them. But together, a body should have all of them. And, so desire earnestly, like God says, we have a paraclete, a comforter, a helper along with us when the Holy Spirit's on board. And don't, you know, I know when I first went to the Baptist church, when I got saved, that they spoke against tongues. Which is actually speaking against the Holy Spirit because it is a work of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't stay there very long and really get that ingrained in me like a lot of people that I know did. And even when they come into the full gospel, they don't necessarily get filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but they accept something as the Holy Spirit. And I see no reason to do that because when we read through the book of Acts, it seemed very common that they did receive tongues, you know. Of course, tongues is a manifestation of the Spirit. It's not the Spirit, it's a manifestation of the Spirit.
And
but desire earnestly, Holy Spirit. That's one of the things that can, not just faith, but being filled with the Spirit will protect you. It will guide you. And you'll just know things that you didn't assimilate through your senses. That's the whole thing about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Is if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, the only thing you know is what you can assimilate through your senses. With your natural mind, you see. And the Spirit speaks, guides, gives feelings, all these things that have nothing to do with assimilating senses, what we see, what we feel, what we hear. You know, it's a much deeper sense of what's really going on. And we learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I was talking with the brother the other day that took me to lunch. I know this brother, and I was sharing with him how that the Lord had showed me how to talk to people by listening to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit would make me feel comfortable about going in certain directions with people that I didn't know very good. You know what I'm talking about? You never know how much to say to people sometimes. Because it's easy to offend people. They're all coming from a different religious background, and you really don't know what their background is sometimes. But if you get sensitive to the Holy Spirit, He will give you a feeling in your heart about going in a direction or not going in a direction or speaking certain things. Have you ever been in a crowd of people and somebody started talking about things that were beyond the ability of the people in the crowd to grasp, you know? And the Spirit inside you would just, you could feel the brakes being put on, you know, just, no, don't go in that direction. No, don't talk to them about that. No, they don't need that. They need something more simple, you know. I feel that a lot of times when I'm in crowds with people and people want to bring up certain revelations and things, and I feel like the Lord is saying, no, don't do that. Be quiet, you know, about that. You know, it's just as smart to be quiet sometimes as it is to follow the leading of the Spirit and speak, you know. In fact, if we're not following the leading of the Spirit, we don't feel the leading of the Spirit, we probably shouldn't speak. Yeah.
I used to think that was a problem with me when that would happen to me. Because there were so many people I was talking to, and the Holy Spirit would say, no, don't share this with them. They can't receive it. Or, you know, you'll make them stumble in what little faith they do have. Or you just tell them, don't speak.
Yeah, we were talking the other day how that a house has to be built from the ground up. You know, you don't start on the roof. You know, you start on the ground up, and people need a foundation to receive other things, deeper things, you know. Jesus said, many things I have to share with you, He said, but you can't receive them right now. Meaning He knew what they could receive at the level that they were. And we have to have some kind of discernment about the level of people and the spirit of people. You know, you get discernments of people that many of God's people may think highly of, but the Holy Spirit tells you differently. You know, if you're able to listen to Him, He'll tell you differently. He'll tell you what's wrong with this person, you know. And to avoid them, or to get out of there, you know. I was in a church where the pastor was a false prophet, and I began to pray for the people there, and suddenly the people started getting dreams and revelations about this man and departing from him, you know, because he was a false prophet. He had a spirit of divination instead of a spirit of prophecy. He was called a prophet, but he wasn't a prophet. And so I started praying for him that the Lord would give him dreams and visions, because obviously they weren't hearing the Spirit tell them who this man was, or maybe they weren't really asking the Lord to tell them who this man was, you know. And the Lord emptied that man's church. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, He gave so many people in their dreams and visions that got passed around that those people departed. Thank God. You know, because they weren't being led by the Lord. You know, they were being led by man and demons. Don't know why we went in this direction, but...
Well, I know. Well, lot of us talking about the power that was on these people in the Book of Acts, and the power being used, and but that was when the light of rain was poured out, and there was power in these people that we will see.
Yes.
I mean, it's not that it doesn't exist, but I don't think it's going to exist in such a widespread way the way, you know, like it was in Acts, until the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the light of rain.
Well, this is it. We have opportunity today to receive the form of rain. We have, since the day of Pentecost, had opportunity to receive the former rain. We will have opportunity in the days ahead to receive the latter rain, which is even greater and more profound. But today, we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And we should obey that just like any other command. When I first received the Holy Spirit, I received it a year after I started seeking to be filled with it. Okay. Or let me say this, I manifested tongues a year after I started seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I started manifesting power before that, signs and wonders and power before that. I'm convinced I was filled with the Holy Spirit earlier, but that I never permitted the tongues to manifest through me. At any rate, I started seeking earnestly to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was, because people around me were kind of awed at the miracles and the signs and wonders I was receiving. And desire earnestly the gifts and ask God for everything. I mean everything. Ask God for everything. And believe Him, you know, to give it to you. I started asking God for wisdom, you know, when I was a baby Christian, because God just put it in my heart. I just kept praying, Lord, open my understanding. I want to know the truth. I don't want to know a lie. I want to know the truth, you know, and I kept praying that. And I tell you, God delivered me time after time, you know, one way and then another. I mean, He delivered me from that Pentecostal religion, you know, because they were very religious folks, and a lot of them were following religious spirit rather than the Holy Spirit, you know. Now, they had the Holy Spirit, and they, like I said, there were 300 people in that church, and I think me and one other guy there was the only ones that hadn't spoken in tongues when I'd been there for a short time. And even the children, listen, 5 and 6-year-old children were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. My daughter, my oldest daughter now, is 33 years old, but she was 5 years old when she received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. There were lots of children there that received the Holy Spirit because they thought it was important in that church, and they prayed for the children to receive it. You know, so, yeah.
Salty said he had the same thing happen to him a whole year later.
You know, a year later?
A year later. I have a question. Does 1 Corinthians 13:11-12 kind of explain where we're at right now with the gifts? That it talks about when us. I mean, I look at it because Paul's saying, you know, when I was a child, I spake as a child. You know, and then in 12, he talks about, you know, I see things dimly now, but we'll see them face to face. And you have to grow into it.
Right. You grow up with your gift. You know, that's the thing, is God gives you the gift. The gift is not perfect working through you, but then you're not perfect in cooperating with the Holy Spirit either. So we grow up with our gift, and as we grow up, our gift grows more perfect, you see. And we may begin by prophesying in part, but as we grow up, it gets more and more perfect, you know.
You find that, like you were mentioning, that your daughter, 6 years old, I believe you said, had the manifestations of the Holy Spirit.
5 years old, yeah.
That Christians come into a gift, lose the gift because they don't exercise it. In other words, somebody that's led by the Spirit of God in a certain walk in their life doesn't mean that they're going to be led by the Spirit later on.
No, that's right.
People don't go on with the Holy Spirit always.
I've known people who received the gift or maybe just the beginnings of the gift. It hasn't even turned into a full language yet. And yet they, with their carnal mind, couldn't discern a reason for it and didn't go on to keep it up, you know. And so it just kind of fell by the wayside with them. But, it takes an education to understand the principles and the needs for some of these gifts. Tongues, you're getting answers when you pray in tongues. You're getting answers from God. You may not even know the things around you that are happening that you wouldn't have received if you hadn't prayed in tongues, you know, or the people around you. You may not know. I've prayed in tongues sometimes when I didn't know what to pray. In fact, Romans 8 says that. You know, we don't know what we need to pray for, because we don't see everything the Holy Spirit sees. And we don't know what we need to pray for our lost relatives or the people around us, you know. But we trust that the Holy Spirit knows, because 1 Corinthians says He knows the mind of God, right? So praying in tongues is powerful, you know. And Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Forbid not to speak with tongues. If you're in a church that they forbid to speak with tongues, go find one that believes the Bible, you know. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about growing up with the gift, and when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. We start out speaking as a child, but when we become a man, we put away childish things. Now, some people foolishly say, well, that means we can put away the gifts because now we're mature. The early church wasn't mature, but now we're mature. That's really ridiculous. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, I think. You know, now we're mature. These apostate churches where they don't have the power of God, don't walk by faith, and don't know anything about the gifts, and yet they think now we don't need the gifts because we're grown up. That which is perfect has come, you know. It's kind of ridiculous. Yeah, Terry?
I've got a question. Does this verse mean you always have them as far as the gifts go? Romans 11:29. For the gifts and the calling of God are not repented of.
Does it mean what now?
Does this verse mean you always have the gifts?
Even though you don't need them?
Well, it may mean that I've known people who did not see the need to continue speaking in tongues. So it just fell into dormancy, you know.
They didn't go away. The churches say that they're gone, but they're not repented of. They're not taken away. They're still here.
Yeah, that's true.
So she said, King James, it reads, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
Yeah. That verse that you're speaking of, that which was made perfect, that people use to say that these gifts have been repented of, that they're gone, that one, that gift of the tongues or whatever. That says different.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, God gives the gift, and He may not take the gift back. And sometimes people misuse the gifts even, you know, and sometimes people depart from the Lord and still have the gifts. And sometimes people do big sins, and yet they still have that gift. And, people think, well, if I speak in tongues, I should be holy. But you know what? You can still walk after the flesh, even if you have the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues and have gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you can split hell wide open with them too, because it's not the gifts that get you into heaven, it's the fruit, right? And in Matthew 7, didn't we do many mighty works in your name, cast out demons? And yet the Lord said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you, you know. You can be a worker of iniquity and speak in tongues, because Because the Holy Spirit speaking through your spirit don't mean you're not following after the flesh, you know? I think that generally speaking, people who do have the Holy Spirit are people who have more power over their flesh and are generally more spiritual people. But that don't mean you won't run into one that's totally walking in the flesh and giving in to the flesh and giving in to the devil. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. We were talking about how that Marvin Gorman and Jimmy Swaggart and people like that, how that they got into trouble here years ago. And I told this person, I said, you know, the Assemblies of God doesn't believe that Christians can have demons. And one reason these guys couldn't get any help when they ran into situations like this is because their denomination didn't believe the Christians could have demons. But I told this person, I said, that I don't know of anybody that's ever received the gifts of discerning of spirits that believes that. What does that tell you about this whole religion that believes that Christians can't have demons? You know, in all of my experience, which is not that great, but for the last 30 years, the overwhelming majority of people that I've cast demons out of was Christians. And, of course, the Bible says that you shouldn't cast the children's bread to the dogs. And he was talking to the Syrophoenician woman who was asking Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. It's the children's bread. We have a right to deliverance, but the world has no covenant. They don't have a right to deliverance. So here's a whole denomination that don't have discernment of spirits. I told this guy, I said, I've never heard of anybody who has a discernment of spirits and actually sees the demons that believes that doctrine. And yet here's a religion that claims to be full gospel, and they don't believe that Christians can have demons. Demons don't come into your spirit where the Holy Spirit resides in the Holy of Holies. Demons come into your flesh. That's the outer court. Even in the Bible, in the outer court, wicked people came into the outer court in the Bible. But they couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, so they were smitten dead, right? The only one that could go in there was the high priest, and they put a rope on his foot just in case he wasn't living up to his office, you know. They'd drag him back out, you know. So the Holy of Holies was protected by the Holy Spirit of God who was there. But the outer court, many a wicked person came into that outer court. And it's that way with the flesh of Christians. Now, I hear Christians quote this verse, which is not a verse, that my spirit won't dwell in an unclean temple. Well, there's no verse that says that. First of all, your flesh is unclean. It is the enemy of God, the Bible says. Your flesh is the enemy of God. Think about that. And it's the Holy of Holies that is so holy that, and that's your spirit, by the way, that the Holy Spirit can come to dwell there comfortably. Okay? But you can have a Christian who has the Holy Spirit of God in their spirit, residing in their spirit, directing them, dealing with them, and yet in their flesh they have demons that are seeking the opposite. You know, the demons in the flesh seek to possess the soul, and the Holy Spirit in your spirit seeks to possess your soul for God. And so many Christians have demons. That's one of the problems. I mean, the Lord delivered us from those just like He healed our body. He delivered us out of the power of darkness. You know, I believe it's Colossians 1 and 13, 11, 12, 13, somewhere along in there. He delivered us out of the power of darkness. We have it's the children's bread, right? To be delivered of demons and to be healed in our body. It's our gift.
Yeah, Terry? Sister Rose wanted to ask, if someone prays in tongues, does someone need to interpret?
Well, that depends, because There is actually two manifestations of tongues in the Bible. I'll point out to you, you can read the whole book of Acts, and there were many people when they got filled with the Holy Spirit that spoke in tongues, and nobody said, now wait a minute, you can't do that without an interpretation. Did you ever notice that? That's because we're not talking about the gift of tongues and interpretation, which is for the body. You know, speaking in tongues is for the individual. Because when we speak in tongues, we edify ourselves or build ourselves up. And the Bible says, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. See, there's a difference. It is needed. I want to say this, though. It's really overblown, because the Apostle Paul was given direction and guidelines for the use of the gifts. And he never said that people sinned if they spoke in tongues and nobody gave the interpretation, as some people try to interpret that. The truth is, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 that you're not doing anybody any good if you speak, if you address them in tongues and don't give the interpretation. You know, you're just a tinkling sound, you know, you don't, the voice doesn't give any discernment, you know. So, if you're addressing a congregation in tongues, there should be an interpreter there. In some cases, you may not know if there's an interpreter there, and you haven't sinned if you do speak in tongues and nobody interprets it. But after you learn that there's nobody there with interpretation, you may want to pray for the interpretation yourself, or you may want to restrain from doing that from there on until you discover that somebody there will interpret it. Again, you haven't sinned if you do that. It's just that you're not edifying anybody by speaking in tongues and not giving an interpretation. If you speak to God, the Bible says, by the way, that if there be no interpreter, speak to yourself and to God. Meaning, you are able to converse with, the Holy Spirit's able to converse through you to God for your edification. It's just that He doesn't want you to use that gift for the body if there's not an interpretation. It's not a sin, it's not wrong, it's just useless. You see, if you speak to me in tongues and I don't get a discernment of what that means, what good is it? You see? So there's two different manifestations of this gift. One of them is from God to the body, and one of them is from God through the Holy Spirit to God. You see? Now, when you're addressing the body, that's a gift for the body, then you need to make sure there's an interpreter there.
There are two different manifestations? Are you saying that...
Yeah, I'm saying I pray in tongues every day.
Right.
But I don't very rarely get an interpretation. Rarely. Once in a while, the Holy Spirit will give me an interpretation, but I don't need an interpretation. And unless I'm addressing the body... I want to say this, too. I mean, there are many people disagree with me on this, but... The Bible does say, when speak to yourself and to God, that word there is oral. It's not in your mind. You don't need to speak in tongues in your mind. In other words, if there be no interpreter, you can pray. You can still pray in tongues, but you don't want to get up loudly and address the congregation in tongues. You can pray quietly with your, you know, just to God. You know where you are. You don't want to disturb everybody else because you're not talking to them. You're talking to God, right? There's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues in the presence of other people, even in a congregation. The Bible does not say that. It does not say that. It does say that you can speak to yourself and to God. But now, if you come into the congregation, 1 Corinthians 14, and you all speak with tongues, somebody who comes in unlearned, won't they think you're mad? Here's the whole point, is if you got people that, and by the way, God's people come in unlearned sometimes, right? And they're ignorant of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he was talking about there, by the way, too, is the Jews were coming in unlearned and ignorant of these gifts. And let's see, that's 1 Corinthians 14 and 23. If therefore the whole church be assembled together and all speak with tongues, Now, first of all, I'm going to tell you, look at that verse. If that's not even a possibility, why would he say it? In the early church, they made sure everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit. you know, and they need to be today. He said, if therefore the whole church be assembled together and all speak with tongues, and there come in men unlearned or unbelieving, will they not say that you're mad? See, they're not used to the gift. Tongues is for a sign to the unbelievers.
What verse were you on?
1 Corinthians 14 and 23. And 22 says, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to the unbeliever. You know what? Tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. Now, if people come into your church and they don't understand what tongues is all about and everybody's jabbering out loud in tongues, well, you know, they might think, maybe I don't need to be here. You know? So what he's saying is be careful with your gift. Don't offend people. The gift is good, okay? But he don't want you to offend people before they get understanding, right? And so if you're speaking in tongues, you can do it, you know, to yourself and to God. When people are praying, it's okay. But you need to make sure you're not offending people with the gift of God. The Bible says, let not your good be evil spoken of. And people can do that. They can take their liberty at the expense of someone who's ignorant and offend people needlessly, you see. So we don't want to do that. But if you're in an assembly of people and you speak to yourself and to God, not addressing the congregation, there's nothing illegal about that. He tells you to do that. 1 Corinthians 14, he tells you to do that. Okay? But you don't want to do it loudly like you would if you were addressing a congregation. And if there's no interpreter, pray that you interpret. Because God can give you the gift to interpret, you know. Yeah, Terry?
Cindy had another question. I'm trying to understand the question. It says, what about the person that knows before a tongue comes forth interpretation, but the person never gives the tongue? Should you stay quiet? Or should it then be a word of knowledge and you still give it? I think it's... I don't understand the question.
Is our mic working?
Yeah, our mic's working.
Nobody's talked to us tonight.
No, no one's raised their hand tonight. Call in and type.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure what you're saying there.
It's almost like...
Maybe Cindy could clear it up a little bit.
Yeah, if she could clear that up, that'd be good. But it's almost like if you what if a person knows before a tongue comes forth interpretation?
We don't understand your question there, Cindy. Maybe you could either talk to us or make it clearer on there. Sometimes, if you don't give the interpretation, somebody else will. And sometimes, if you don't give the tongue, somebody else will too. Because a lot of people are nervous to get up in front of people, especially if it's the first time. They're not sure of their gift. They may be hesitant, and they may sit there and feel condemned, you know, because they don't get up and give it. You know,
she says, meaning you know you have an interpretation, but the tongue never comes forth.
Well, you know, the interpretation, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, is equal with prophecy. You understand? The interpretation is fine.
Yeah.
If you have a tongue with the interpretation, that's equal with prophecy, the Bible says. And if you give an interpretation and nobody wants to give the tongue, it doesn't matter. You can give the interpretation.
Well, it seems like to me, because I remember I struggled with this for about a year before I finally just gave in and let the Lord take over. But it seemed to me that there was such a strong emphasis on this gift of speaking in tongues. I couldn't really understand what such a strong pull that you just had to do it, or you just weren't spirit-filled, or what the impression I was getting. I know that's not what the Bible says, but... But I was interested seeing that when you're speaking in tongues, it's for the edification of someone, whether it be the body of Christ, the body of the person who's speaking, or another instance, obviously, but it's for building up and nothing. It's not for destroying or confusion or anything like that. It's for building up.
Right.
And if you can interpret that, that's great. But if not, the Holy Spirit can use anything to interpret for you or anyone.
That's where what we just talked about just a second ago in terms of the two different manifestations. It's not like they're two different gifts. They're one gift.
Yeah, right.
But two different manifestations. One of which edifies the body, and the other of which is for growth in your walk with the Lord.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. For protection or deliverance.
Yeah, and I've seen that, you know, a lot of people have the gift of tongues where they use it as far as their prayer language and things like that.
Yeah.
Not so many in terms of for edification of the body.
Yeah.
And see, there, I think, unfortunately, what we're talking about here, and you hear so much about this, oh, well, I don't want tongues because, you know, if you give a prophecy or something to the body, it's a real stigma. It's a stigma, you know, because
yeah.
How do you know if someone's going to be there to interpret what you're saying unless you speak it?
Yeah, exactly.
And they make it such a stigma before the body as if, like, oh, well, that must not have been from God, you know, else we would have heard.
Yeah, that's not true. Because you may have someone there that has the interpretation and they're afraid to get up and give it.
Yeah,
that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
From, you know, lack of understanding.
And again, if you get a tongue and you feel the gift, you should go ahead and give it, you know, because and let things fall where they will. If you haven't sinned and you haven't even done anything wrong. Now, if you find out that in this particular assembly that you're in, that there's nobody there that has the gift, well, you may want to avoid it, you know. And maybe it's for you, you know.
But, David, doesn't this go back to what we're talking about being led by the Spirit?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if the Spirit, Holy Spirit, leads you in utterance in a tongue, I mean, I know you have, and I know I have. I've been at school at PJC and start speaking in tongues to people when I don't mean to.
Yeah,
it just came out.
Yeah.
And they looked at me like I had lost my mind.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit guides you in doing this, though, I think. Not resist it, just go with it. You know, be led by the Holy Spirit, not resist it.
One of the things that happens to me is I get a real uneasy feeling, and I'll start praying in the Spirit, and then you'll find yourself getting healed.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. That's really good.
Amen.
Well, I've had some times when I was overwhelmed with sadness about something I was dealing with, you know, in my life, let's say. And that's the only peace that I would find would be to pray in tongues.
Amen.
Quite often we don't even know what it is. You just know that there's a need. And
you know, it's the whole
sometimes,
is
sometimes you really know and you're just totally broken.
You know, yeah.
Just
and
totally broken.
Yeah, but sometimes
and
that's the only
piece
you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I pray in tongues quite often when I'm driving somewhere because, you know, if I'm in the car by myself, I pray in tongues or sing in tongues and I just enjoy that time with the Lord. You know, I don't even turn my radio on. I just sing and pray in tongues because you're alone, you're not going to bother anybody, you know, and, it's just you and God. Sometimes I take a walk around a few blocks at night, and I do the same thing. You know, it's a good time to do it. I'm kind of alone and speaking things. And the Bible says too, by the way, that they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:14, he said, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." Notice Paul said, "I will." A person who has the gift of tongues can pray anytime they want to. They give themselves to the Holy Spirit anytime they want to speak in tongues. And And there are gifts that do not work that way, but this one does. And you can pray in tongues as often as you want. That's not to say you can get up and address a congregation as often as you want. That's not true, because that is under the function and direction of the Holy Spirit. But you can pray to God anytime you want. That's the whole point in us being the temple of God, is we don't have to go anywhere to have fellowship with God. We carry Him with us everywhere we go, so we can pray without ceasing. That's the whole point of the New Testament, is we're supposed to pray without ceasing. Talked about all the time, in your mind, or vocally, or anywhere you are, about every circumstance or situation. Paul said, I will do it, and I will too. I will.